What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, NFL free agency has begun today, and it has been off the hook. My phone has been going off with alerts of new signings, new trades, new extensions. Actually started over the weekend. Obviously, I'm not going to go over every single thing that has happened, but I will definitely go over the big signings, the big trades, and basically just go in order of how everything happened pretty much over the weekend. Beginning with Geno Smith, quarterback Geno Smith was traded from the Seattle Seahawks to the Las Vegas Raiders. So now it looks like the Raiders at least have their quarterback for now. I don't know how many more years Geno Smith has left in him, but hey, they could just draft a quarterback or, you know, work on something else. But they definitely have Geno Smith for this year. He has worked with Pete Carroll in the past. You know, Pete Carroll signed in the offseason as the new coach of the Las Vegas Raiders. So not shocking that he went for a guy he already knows that he's got a good rep with. So that was the first movement over the weekend. Then the next thing that happened over the weekend was defensive end Myles Garrett. He wanted a trade. He said this was not about money, and he wanted to trade. And then all of a sudden, the Cleveland Browns offer him a contract extension that he ends up signing, paying him an additional $40 million a year, making Myles Garrett the highest paid non-quarterback player on the field. Gotta say, he deserves the money, number one, because he is a beast on the field. I don't think there's any better defensive end in the league, at least at this point in time. I feel like if Myles Garrett played for a legitimate contender, he would have 3 Super Bowl rings by now. He would just be—he's just a huge force, dominating force. And so, if you got to stick with the Cleveland Browns, hey, at least you could get paid to stick with the Cleveland Browns, and good for him, earning $40 million a year. He absolutely 100% deserves it, but obviously that takes him off of the trade market and keeps him in Cleveland for the time being. Then we had wide receiver Davante Adams. He ends up signing with the Los Angeles Rams, which I think is a great move by the Rams because it looks like they're going to either be trading or releasing Cooper Kupp. So you put Davante Adams in there with Matthew Stafford, Kyren Williams at the running back position, and then Puka Nacua, the other wide receiver. You got a lot of weapons out there for Matthew Stafford. And Davante Adams has always been one of the best receivers in the league. He for sure is a top 5 receiver, one of the best route runners in the league. Great hands, great deep threat. He is an overall excellent receiver, and I think he's going to fit right in with the Rams. Then we had wide receiver DK Metcalf. He was traded from the Seattle Seahawks to the Pittsburgh Steelers, which I think is a great move for the Steelers because the Steelers' offense, that's what they need to be working on this offseason. And they definitely need a big-time receiver like DK Metcalf, who is great in the open field. He is great deep, and he is a number one threat out there for whoever they end up getting at quarterback, because they're obviously going to have to make some move there. But DK Metcalf is a great start to help start improving this offense. Then Chris Godwin, the wide receiver of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, he ends up re-signing with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, which I think is also a good move for him and that team. Then Sam Darnold ends up going to the Seattle Seahawks since they traded away Geno Smith. They needed a quarterback, and looks like they now have their quarterback for the time being. And then also the other big contract extension over the weekend was quarterback Josh Allen got a 6-year, $330 million contract extension from the Buffalo Bills. He ends up with $250 million guaranteed money, which gives him the most guaranteed money of all time on any quarterback, and he's also going to be earning an average of $55 million per year. So good for Josh Allen, and good for the rest of these guys getting paid right now, taking advantage of that increased salary cap for this year. So good to see some dudes are getting paid. Good to see some movement. The first day of NFL free agency, I'm sure some things are still popping off right now as I speak. But we will get into those if anything else happens throughout the week, because we do have a whole bunch of guys still out there, still remain unsigned, and then I'm sure trades and contract extensions are also around the corner as well. So let's move on to the NBA and the Trop 10 NBA Power Rankings for this week. Not a whole lot of movement, just because, you know, we are getting to that last final stretch for the playoff run here in the NBA. And so pretty much it is what it is, and if you are one of the top teams in the league right now, you're probably going to remain as one of the top teams in the league. And it's just pretty much, right now it's Cleveland and everybody else. So let's start it off with number one on my top 10 NBA power rankings remains the Cleveland Cavaliers. They are 54-10 on the season. They are currently on a 14-game winning streak, which is why they have remained at the top spot right now. This past week, they beat the Chicago Bulls, the Miami Heat, the Charlotte Hornets, and the Milwaukee Bucks. They're just killing it in every way, shape, and form. Right now, they lead the league with 123 points per game is what they're averaging. They're first in three-point percentage, averaging dropping 39% of their three-pointers. They're second in the league with field goal percentage, averaging dropping 49% of their shots. So they just aren't missing, and they're playing good on the defensive side of the ball. They're really avoiding the major injuries. It's pretty much just kind of little here and there sprains and strains kind of deals. But for the most part, they haven't really suffered any major injuries. And they really just are playing extremely consistent basketball. They are the top team in the Eastern Conference, and they are the only team that has clinched a playoff spot so far. Then at number two on my top 10 NBA power rankings remains the Oklahoma City Thunder. Overall record of 53-11. They are on a 7-game winning streak, so they are also no slouches either. They are playing extremely consistent basketball as they have all season long. Also the second team to go over the 50-win plateau mark. This past week they beat the Houston Rockets, the Memphis Grizzlies, the Portland Trail Blazers, and the Denver Nuggets. And the SGA is just blowing everybody out of the water. He had his 11th 40-point game of the season. I believe it was his 40th game of the season where he went over 30 points. So that just goes to show you what kind of dominating season SGA has had, and it's been all him. I mean, there's a lot of good players surrounding him, but this dude has been extremely consistent. You really can't point to a bad game he has had at all this year. You can't even really point to a game where a defense has even been able to contain him in any way, shape, or form. So the dude is just having a phenomenal year and just keeps carrying this team. And hopefully they can keep it moving, because their only big issue is, can we trust them in the playoffs? Because we don't know what we're going to get from them there. But if they keep playing this way, and if he keeps playing this way, they are on lock to win a championship. Then at number three on my top 10 NBA power rankings are the Boston Celtics. Overall record of 46-18. They're 8-2 in their last 10 games. This past week, they beat the Portland Trail Blazers, the Philadelphia 76ers, and dominated my Los Angeles Lakers. They played some suffocating defense against Luka and the Lakers, and they just proved that they still are a force to be reckoned with. They are not a team you should be falling back on at all. They are the defending champs for a reason. You better remember it. Jason Tatum is having a fantastic year himself. They're getting dudes back from injury. Brown is now starting to play some consistent basketball as well. So the Boston Celtics, they have no worries. They have no issues at this point in time. They only seem to be getting stronger, and that win over the Lakers proved it. Then at number four in my top 10 NBA power rankings of the Los Angeles Lakers. Overall record of 40-22. They're 8-2 in their last 10 games. This past week, they beat the New Orleans Pelicans and the New York Knicks, but lost to the Boston Celtics. And a big deal is LeBron got injured in this game against the Celtics. And it looks like he's going to be missing at least 1 to 2 weeks, which is not terrible, but because I would say rest him anyways, just because the playoffs are around the corner, and you definitely would rather have a healthy LeBron for the playoffs and not risk any further injury, especially because a groin injury is nothing new to LeBron. It's actually something he's had over, I think last year he actually had it as well. So this could just be a reaggravation of that same injury, who knows. But regardless, he's been playing fantastic otherwise. So this is definitely going to take a chunk out of the team and definitely put some pressure on Luka. Not that he's afraid of any pressure, but now we definitely get to see what he's going to do to carry this team. Austin Reeves is going to have to step up as well, and the rest of the bench players. But, I mean, they're still a good team. They're still playing good defensively. But also you got to look at Luka as well. In the Boston Celtics game, he was also playing through a back injury. You could tell it was bothering him the majority of the game. He really couldn't get his footing under him, and it just looked like it was a burden to bear for him from the jump. So we'll see how this LeBron injury ends up, if it ends up costing them the number two seed or anything. But I kind of feel like at this point, it doesn't really matter, because the Lakers should be making the playoffs easily. And number five on my top 10 NBA power rankings of the Denver Nuggets. Overall record of 41-23. They're 6-4 in their last 10 games. This past week, they beat the Sacramento Kings, the Phoenix Suns, and lost to the Oklahoma City Thunder. Lost a close one to the Oklahoma City Thunder. Nikola Jokic is, like I keep saying, I feel like every single top 10 power rankings, I'm always talking about how Jokic is having the best season of his career, and he actually did something that has never happened in the history of the NBA. Should be no shock here. It involves a triple-double. He is the first player ever to have a triple-double where the points are 30-plus points, assists, 20-plus assists, and 20-plus rebounds. He ended up with 31 points, 22 assists, and 21 rebounds. That's the first time that's ever happened in the history of the NBA, and it should come as no shock that it was Jokic to do it. But the thing about the Nuggets that really showed through against the Oklahoma City Thunder yesterday was that Jokic actually, he hurt his elbow or something at the beginning of the game and really was never himself the rest of the game. And you could see once that happened, Denver really wasn't able to get their footing. Yes, it was a close game for the most part, and they were able to keep it within reach all the way to the very end. But once Jokic got hurt, it kind of felt like they really started to fade away. And so it just kind of goes to show you how much they rely on him to do so much, because he is obviously doing so much when you got a stat line of 31, 22, and 21. Then at number six in my top 10 NBA power rankings are the Memphis Grizzlies. Overall record of 40-24. They're 4-6 in their last 10 games. This past week, they lost to the Atlanta Hawks, lost to the Oklahoma City Thunder, and then won against the Dallas Mavericks and beat the New Orleans Pelicans. Their big issue right now has been injuries. Dudes have been in and out of the lineup with injuries here and there. But still, they are still a good team. They've actually really got a solid grip now on their division. You know, Houston actually had the lead for the majority of the season, but once Memphis got the lead over these last couple of weeks, they have not let that lead go, and I feel like that it's going to remain that way. I'm looking at Zach Edey, and he really is having a fantastic year for a rookie, really dominating the paint, really playing great defensively, and then you've got Ja having a fantastic offensive year, Jaren Jackson Jr. as well. It's just these little injuries here and there that seem to be an issue, but they seem to be now kind of coming out of that down slump that it seems that they've been in over the last week or so. Then at number seven on my top 10 NBA power rankings of the New York Knicks, overall record of 40-23. They're 5-5 in their last 10 games, and they are really, really struggling without Jalen Brunson right now. They lost to the Golden State Warriors, lost to the Los Angeles Lakers, and then lost to the Los Angeles Clippers. They got their asses beat in Cali this week. And it's just no Brunson, all problems. He's just like I was just talking about Jokic, how Jokic or Denver really relies on Jokic. Well, obviously the Knicks really rely on Brunson. Even though Kat's in there, everything's rolling through Brunson. He runs this offense. He's the dictator of what happens, and he's a huge source of offense for them. And they really, really need the dude back. Now, luckily, he should be coming back here in the next, I think he was out last week, so he's going to be out this week. So more than likely, he should be coming back in the next week or so. And we'll see what they're able to do. I don't think they're going to fall out of any type of playoff contention while he's out of there. But you could definitely see them struggling without him in there. Then at number eight on my top 10 NBA power rankings are the Minnesota Timberwolves. Wrong sport there. Minnesota Timberwolves overall record right now of 37-29. They're 6-4 in their last 10 games. This past week, they beat the Philadelphia 76ers, the Charlotte Hornets, the Miami Heat, and the San Antonio Spurs. And right now, they are actually on a six-game winning streak. So they're really hot right now. They've actually been hot the whole second half of the season. They kind of started the first half off really trying to find themselves. But now they have officially found themselves, and they're actually playing really good basketball. I don't know if I would say they're a championship contender, but I wouldn't be surprised if they actually end up fucking up somebody's day come playoff time, especially with the way Anthony Edwards is playing right now. He's really leading the charge with this team. And they actually look, this is the time of year when you want to play your best basketball. And right now, the Timberwolves are playing their best basketball, and they don't seem to be letting up as well. So we'll see what they've got the remaining rest of the regular season. But they definitely might be a problem come playoff time if they keep playing this way. Then at number 9 on my top 10 NBA power rankings are the Milwaukee Bucks. Overall record of 36-27. They're 7-3 in their last 10 games. This past week, they beat the Atlanta Hawks and the Dallas Mavericks and lost to the Orlando Magic and lost to the Cleveland Cavaliers. As a matter of fact, on the season, they are 0-4 versus the Cleveland Cavaliers. So they're definitely going to have to step up their game against the Cavs if they want to get past them in the playoffs. Because Milwaukee actually is one of the hottest teams in the second half, but most certainly right now. They actually seem to be playing really good team basketball. Lillard and Giannis having fantastic seasons. And like I keep saying, Kuzma's really starting to become a big source of offense for them as well. And so look to him to maybe be a guy who comes out of nowhere in some playoff games and kind of has like a game where he goes off for like 35 points and becomes like, you know, the savior of a game or two here or there. But that's what you need on a team that has a Giannis and a Dame, because you got to put your guys on them. But then if you let a Kuzma loose, then if he's capable of dropping 35 points in a playoff game, that could absolutely cost you a series or definitely a game. The Milwaukee's looking good right now, but they definitely got to step it up against the teams like the Cleveland Cavaliers, because they most certainly are going to have to go through them to try and get to the championship. And then rounding out the top 10 NBA power rankings, I have the Detroit Pistons. Overall record of 36-29. They're 7-3 in their last 10 games. This past week, they beat the Utah Jazz, lost to the Los Angeles Clippers, lost to the Golden State Warriors, and then got a win over the Portland Trail Blazers. This is one of the most consistent teams of the second half. They've been really dominating, really suffocating. Cade Cunningham playing very consistent basketball. Lots of young guys. Playing really good basketball. I don't know how long they're going to last once they hit the playoffs, but they most certainly are going to be a playoff team. And I also won't be surprised if this team ends up fucking up somebody's day once they go up against each other. But I look at this Pistons team, and they're playing the good teams well. They had an up and down week this week, and so they still remain at 10, but definitely one of the best teams the second half of this NBA season. So now we have conference tournaments going on this weekend in college basketball, since it is March Madness time. That conference tournaments basically is the kickoff to March Madness, because now it's just tournament time. And honestly, college basketball tournaments are some of the most fun, exciting things to watch. Even if you don't have a team that you're even rooting for, you just get to see so many cool walk-offs and game winners and just random teams winning. And this is the weekend it starts. And then, of course, March Madness starts next weekend. So we've got all the goodness coming with college basketball. So I decided to pick out a couple of the conference tournaments and just break them down just a little bit to get you ready for March Madness. Of course, we do have some of the mid-tier and the lower-tier conference championships beginning tonight. And then as the week goes on, some of the lower seeds in these ACCs and Big Tens, they start tomorrow and Wednesday and then move on through the weekend. But I'm just going to talk about the four big conference championships or conference tournaments and break those down just a bit. So let's begin with the ACC, which has the number one overall team in Duke. They actually just took over the number one spot in the rankings this week. They've been one of the most consistent teams in college basketball all season, have one of the top players in all of college basketball as well, and they most certainly are a championship contender, that is for sure. So I have them pretty much dominating the ACC championship, because I don't really think anybody competes with them. I do think a Cinderella is going to kind of sweep through the ACC championship to go up against Duke, and I've got SMU doing that. SMU's had a very solid regular season. They've just been creeping their way through, just playing really consistent basketball, and so I just kind of feel like they're going to do that in this tournament, kind of get ready, kind of upset some people along the way, but I don't think they'll be enough for Duke, and I think Duke will end up winning the ACC championship. Then in the Big Ten championship, I have two teams that I don't believe a lot of people are probably looking at. One of them, I'm going with UCLA, just because this is their first year in the Big Ten. They've actually had a very, very, very good year this year. So I have them shining in their first year in the Big Ten, going to the championship round. And then I have the number two seeded Maryland going as well to the Big Ten championship round against UCLA. Maryland's been very consistent this year as well. And so I just kind of see them rolling through the Big Ten. I just kind of, there really hasn't been a major standout. I know Michigan State would be the quote standout of the Big Ten, but I just kind of feel like we're going to see some type of upsets here at some point. So I'm just going with a random one for the Big Ten championship, UCLA versus Maryland. And I'm just leaning towards the championship winner of this one as UCLA, just because it's their first year and they've really surprised a lot of people this season. So I'm going UCLA in that one. Then in the Big 12 championship, Houston is, they've been one of the top teams all season long in college basketball, so they're absolutely going to dominate this Big 12 championship. But I think the dark horse is going to end up being Texas Tech. Texas Tech has had a really solid regular season. They've had some good upsets, and they've pretty much been in the majority of the basketball games that they've played. As a matter of fact, I wouldn't be surprised if they actually end up being a Cinderella-type squad in March Madness tournament and maybe has some upsets along the way. So I think this is where it's going to start, is in the Big 12 tournament. And so my Big 12 championship I have is Houston versus Texas Tech. Like I said, Houston's been one of the top teams in the league all year. So I have them moving on. And Texas Tech, I just think they're a silent horse that people need to watch out for. And I say that because I actually have them winning the Big 12 championship, just as that random win. Would not be surprised, of course, if Houston wins it, because that's how good Houston is. But I just wanted to take a dark horse in this one, because that's what's the great thing about college basketball tournaments, is anybody can win, because it's just one and done, and it doesn't matter if you're the best on the court or if you've been ranked number one, two, three, or four, or five all season. It doesn't matter. There are teams like Texas Tech who just come right in, take over, and are able to just get the wins where they need to, and that's what I think is going to happen in the Big 12 championship. I think they're just going to get the upset, and Texas Tech is going to be the Big 12 champion. And then the SEC tournament, which is stacked to the brim, because if you don't know, the top 25 rankings have been heavily dominated by the SEC, including the top 10. I mean, the top 10 has pretty much had 3 to 5 SEC teams all season long. So this is definitely going to be a battle to begin with. And these teams are going to beat each other up every single game along the way. And it's really actually difficult to pick who I think is going to win this one, just because I think you can make a case for a lot of these teams in the Big 12. So I think the Big 12 championship is going to end up being Auburn versus Florida. These two have been the top dogs in the SEC. Auburn's been in the top 10 pretty much all season long. They've been ranked number one a good chunk of the regular season as well. Florida, they've been there all season long as well. And they've just been playing really, really, really well all season. And so I just kind of see it coming down to Auburn and Florida in this one. And I've got Auburn as the SEC champion, because to me, Auburn is probably the best team. If I'm just looking at just roster and how they've played all season long and just what I see on the court, I just kind of feel like Auburn's the best team in all of college basketball. I would not be shocked to see them win March Madness when it's all said and done. But I definitely have them winning the SEC championship, because they've been the top team, not only in the SEC, but in all of college basketball for the majority of this season. All right, y'all, enjoy the rest of the week of sports, and I will talk to you fools on Friday.